Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by Copper Compression. If you've been doing extra sewing or housework, your hands might need some extra support. Visit coppercompression.com and use code SEWINGOUTLOUD to receive 30% off your first order.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue. Start a podcast.
And I'm ZD Donahue. Obviously, we've been staying at home too much.
Yes. I tried to make mayonnaise this morning, and normally I am so good at making mayonnaise. I'm the mayonnaise queen.
Except she can't make mayonnaise in the Vitamix, and I can.
Nope, can't make mayonnaise in the Vitamix.
I think I like my Vitamix better than you like your Vitamix.
Well, I've been using the Vitamix to make breadcrumbs. That's been great.
Oh, no, it is fantastic for breadcrumbs.
But I just was really effing up the mayonnaise this morning, and I was like, normally I'm so good at this. And my husband can't, like, make it. He always messes it up, but... And then I forgot how to start our podcast. And then you're going to hear about another thing that I messed up later in the podcast.
Only one?
No, I was saying that, and I'm about to talk about another one. All right. So
maybe we should talk about how many things we've messed up during our stay-at-home period, because weird stuff happens.
You know,
when you take your routine away from someone, weird stuff happens.
And I messed up. It's kind of a long story, but anyway, my children are just hearing me swear a lot more now.
Yeah, I think that's happened.
And you know what?
A lot of places.
They're just learning that, okay, that's a word we don't say because it can hurt other people.
That's a word we don't
feelings.
Say in public. Yeah, oh, that's why our parents don't even let us go in public anymore.
Exactly. So, anyway.
That's a word that might offend some people.
We're going to do a little feel free to compliment me or what we've been sewing episode. Social distancing style. And I'll start off.
I want to talk about social distance, okay?
Yeah.
So you're supposed to stand, you know, I don't know, 6 feet, 10 feet, they keep changing it, right?
Right.
But if you want to be 10 or 6 feet away from someone, uh-huh. right, 2 meters, all you do is you extend, you extend your arm to the side.
Yeah.
Right? Either side. And then their fingertips to your fingertips, right?
But you don't touch them.
You don't touch them, right. It's okay. And then where your shoulder, your opposite shoulder, where your arm is not extended, you turn and stand there, and they do the same thing, and that's 6 feet.
Oh.
Because you're...
What if you have really short arms?
Your chest and arm span is about a meter.
What if you have really short
well,
arms?
Well, I would assume, like, I'm not very big. And it works for me.
It works for you.
But, yeah, you know, then measure yourself. Is it a meter between one shoulder to the opposite fingertips when extended? Is that about a meter for you?
I love all of the suggestions of the gigantic hoop skirts for social distancing or, like, a big, huge hat or something.
Hillary wanted her farthingale.
Yeah. I love it. I like this. I just...
But anyway, that would be called SEW, social distancing, because that's how we measure a yard.
Yes.
You know, is from your shoulder, from your nose to the tip of your fingers.
Yeah, actually, how I measure it when somebody orders, like, something from us, like, elastic.
Right.
Now, fabric I like, I measure on the cutting table. But elastic, somebody's ordering like 10 yards of elastic. That's how I do it. And I do it a little past that so they get a little extra.
So you know that your arm, if you hold your arms up, right, out to the sides, hold them up and measure fingertip to fingertip, that's generally within 2 inches of how tall you are.
Well, that's why I brought up, what if you have short arms? Because how can that be true? And you're 5 feet and somebody else is 6 feet.
I'm 5 foot, right? So I know that my arm span and another foot, right, would be 6 feet.
Would do the trick. Right. Okay. All right. All right.
That's, yeah, it's like my...
Okay, this is not the fun...
This isn't the fun
this
part.
Is not the funny tangent that I thought we were going to go on. All right.
Well, I happened to think of that the other day.
Moving on.
You know, I have time to think of things.
Okay. So I made Zelda a swimsuit not last year. I think it was like the year before. And it was a little tank top swimsuit. And she wanted like a rainbow on it. She's like sparkly rainbow or, you know, some kind of combination of words came together where she's like, I want a sparkle rainbow swimsuit. And this was when we were doing... a lot of the knit applique. So it was 2 years ago.
I think it was right about the time.
Yep, doing all the knit
applique.
I
was making that first Ariel costume for myself.
Yeah. So the swimsuit, I tried to model it off of a leotard that I'd bought her for dance, which actually didn't fit her super well in the first place. And then I made this swimsuit, and it just like just did not fit well. The fabric I used on the front was like this holographic stuff. Anyway, I posted a picture of it. It looks really cute, not on her. and so
it's cute. It doesn't fit
cute.
Anyone.
It just doesn't look good on. You know, it just didn't fit her. I was like, oh my gosh. So anyway, I didn't get to really fix it. But then she's been asked. Then she asked for like a rainbow heart on her swimsuit, and so it's like, okay. So it was her 5th birthday couple weeks ago here, and I was like, all right, need
that
to
was
go
last
up there.
Week actually
well
but
I,
it will
I
be a couple weeks I see I see what you're saying
published.
Yeah
okay
I understand
now you get it
yeah
I was really trying to be real here like so that people
well
could...
being real can be really risky go ahead
all right I have to record this one on my own.
Because
okay.
always, you know, you,
moving
you think
on.
You're being real and once, then something screws it up and you're
again.
Not really real anymore. Go ahead.
Moving on. So I had this swimsuit with this rainbow pattern on it and it was...
it didn't fit anyone in the whole world.
Didn't fit anyone. Right. And actually, it's kind of funny because the way I like layered the fabric on... I think that it would stop a bullet, maybe. It's a bit thick, and that's okay. But so what I did was, I was like, I'm going to make Zelda a swim shirt for her birthday. I remember that this is, like, what I should be doing the day before her birthday, you know, little party celebration thing that we have. So I was like, I'm going to make her, you know, a swim shirt. And so I traced off another swim shirt that she had been wearing. But I looked at it, and it fit her fine, and it was a size 24 month.
Because that's how wide she is.
Yeah, that's how wide she is. And I was like, is this, like, short on her? But she was asleep, and so I just traced it. And actually, it ends up fits her just fine. So, but what I did was I cut the heart out of the swimsuit.
The swimsuit front.
Yeah, the swimsuit front. And it's really cute because the rainbow pattern of the... of the fabric, like, that I did, the applique was going diagonally, so it's, like, this cute diagonal rainbow on this iridescent, like, metallic heart. It's going to be fabulous. And then I raided Mom's stash of swimsuit fabric because I thought we'd just keep the tradition going of, you know, stealing your swimsuit fabric. And I found this coral pink to be the body. It's, like, a raglan rash guard and a foil... decorated green knit that I think I would call this like dancewear fabric.
It's like foil dots on bright chartreuse fabric.
Bright chartreuse green fabric. And you made me a chartreuse swimsuit when I was like 12.
I think I've made everyone one. I think I made Catherine one too.
Oh, really?
I think
everyone's
had a chartreuse swimsuit.
I think you did. Yes. No.
In fact, I think I have Catherine's chartreuse swimsuit, so we should just put Zelda in it.
Oh, okay.
And we may have to replace the elastic, but who knows?
So So I'm making this shirt, and it just is turning out, like, so cute. And nothing, like, I didn't screw anything up. during the making of this shirt. I hemmed it and everything before I gave it to her. It was nuts. Did I wrap it? No. But I realized...
You put all the money and thought into the gift.
Into the gift. Right. That's right. She doesn't care if it's wrapped. So I give it to her and it's adorable and she just wants to wear it all day. But then a little thought came into my brain. It's like, Jerome is 2. And this was based off of a 24-month shirt. And I'm like, was that a shirt that he can wear too? Because sometimes they switch, you know, clothes or whatever. So I try it on Jerome. It looks adorable on him. Like this corally pink color and the chartreuse. I, like, that is a professional, very trendy color
it
combination.
Is right now,
like,
yeah.
it just looked so cute. So he looks so cute. And so I'm like, Derek, see you later. I got to go make another swim shirt. So I come up here and I use the same pattern. I cut it out, and then I'd cut the heart out of this little itty-bitty swimsuit.
That was left. What was left?
But there was still a little bit of this rainbow left in the swimsuit. And I was like, okay, well, obviously he can't have, like, a big old heart or something on him. So I cut out these stripes, and you'll see them in the photos, and I've shared them on Instagram, so you've probably seen them.
They're like little racing stripes.
They're kind of racing stripes, and then, like, I didn't have as much iridescent fabric on one side as on the other, so it's like, you know, the rainbow looks like it's been sort of cut up, and I just think that, like, I would
rainbow
not...
Rainbow through the Vitamix.
Yeah, there you go. I would not have, like, designed this.
Right.
What I like, and what I mean,
but those
is,
are the best designs.
No,
I swear.
What I'm trying to say is,
you
like,
planned
I don't,
it. You would
I
not.
Don't think I'm smart enough to have designed something this cute. Oh. It's so
well,
cute.
Well, but what's funny is it wasn't a planned design. It's like, well, this is what I have, so now this is going to happen.
Right. Yes. Right. No, it really though. Like, I feel very fortunate because I don't. It's not like I've been doing a lot of, like, other creative work or something like that, like designing designs to go on the front,
like,
of a T-shirt, you know?
Actually, the swimsuit I wore that same day, which your daughter calls my space suit because it's that galaxy fabric, you know, that was a muslin.
Yeah.
And that was scraps.
And everyone
tells me how cute that suit is. And I'm like, well, I wish you could say I planned this all out to be this cute.
Right.
But it's just, you know, I didn't have quite enough for the sleeves, and I only had, you know, enough space fabric for the middle front and the middle back. And it was, that is just so cute. And I'm like, and I didn't even think it up myself.
Well, and that bright green foiled fabric,
you didn't know it existed till that
moment.
Well,
it was
right?
just a little scrap.
Right.
Actually, I think I did. I think Zelda picked it up.
Oh, before.
And she had said, I want a swimsuit out of this, you know? And so I knew she was small enough that I could do this. So, you know, the sleeves worked on it, the neck
was
band.
That out of the bin that said a yard?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm looking at it right now. It says spandex knits, less than one yard.
Yeah, 1 yard or less, yeah.
So, like, the sleeves worked for Jerome. Right. And then what I did that day is I noticed that the sleeves were a bit short on Zelda. She could maybe use a little more length in the body. And so I did alter her pattern and then kept the other one. So the original pattern that I had drafted said, you know, Zelda Rash Guard, May 2020. So I crossed out Zelda, put Jerome. And then I made one for Zelda. And I actually tried to increase the width a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I made a test one and went and put it on her. And she actually didn't need that much width. It really is the length for... For a lot of kids.
A lot of kids just grow tall.
Yeah.
In fact, some kids will get slimmer around as they grow tall sometimes
Yeah, Jerome definitely, like, he has.
Oh, he's definitely slimmer.
Well, the picture I posted of him in this thing, he's, like, sticking his stomach out.
Everybody would say, Jerome, let me see your shirt. And it's on his chest, but he would stick his stomach out.
Oh, my God, it's so cute.
It's funny.
He's a hilarious little kid, too. So, anyway, I was just so happy with these garments. And so the next day, I cut out 2 more apiece. So they both have 3 new swim shirts, which actually, I don't really know that they need many more for this season, like this year, you know? And so.
Except sometimes we're swimming every day, and sometimes they're swimming in the morning and then in the afternoon.
That's true. And Jerome naps. So sometimes, like, he's got to, you know, do a change of clothes. So I did think maybe, like, 2 more. And the fabric that I used was the stuff that I'd ordered through, like, a Facebook page called The Purple Seamstress. And I ordered it. I think 2 years ago. And so I like still have it left over. I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought I was going to like get rid of this or, you know, use it up. And I thought, well, when they grow out of these in another year or two, I'll get to make some more. So that is, in fact, one of the, I guess it was 2.5 years ago because Zelda had leggings, like swim right. leggings out of the one fabric. And we made those during the made to measure leggings testing process, right. you know, when we tested them for kids. So anyway, I just felt so wonderful having made.
Sewing empowered.
My sojo was back yeah. is kind of what I was, you know, saying. And I'm like, yay, I feel so good. And then I went to make something for myself and I'm like, why are these pattern pieces so big? I'm like, oh my. No, and I was cutting out those Burnside bibs. So they're like a wide-legged, gathered at the waist overall.
So there's like three times as much fabric as you need
anyway.
Exactly.
So it's just a rather large pattern piece in the grand scheme of things anyway. And then I'm like, why is this so long? Oh, you know, and I'm like, oh, right, because it's for like a full-grown person instead of a child. And I was like, maybe I need to sew some more kids' clothes before I move on. It was also really handy. I want to point out that you had the cover stitch machine set up with, like, pink thread, okay? And it's not set up with pink thread anymore because I changed it for the second batch of rash guards. But you had the machine set up with this pink thread, and the hem of the rash guard was pink, but the sleeves were that green. However, I did not change thread because, hell no.
I wouldn't have either.
And
no.
it blended into right. this bright green foiled dot,
right.
like, just fine. And I'm just, you know, that was, of course, just another thing, you know, when I was doing this, I was like, oh, I should share this with the group that, like, you know, you just right. never know. Like, you might be fine with a light gray or even a light pink on the most unlikely of fabrics, you know. So that made me happy as well. And then the other two rash guards I made were, like, a teal and a blue, and I just changed to teal and blue over there. And I left pink in the looper because I don't care.
That's right.
So that was my, that's my feel free to compliment me. And then both of my children were in these adorable rash guards. And have you ever seen the segment of Ellen where Kristen Bell is on there and they bring in a sloth?
No.
No. Okay. Well, if anyone has
sloths creep me out.
Okay. So apparently Kristen Bell.
Do you know that sloths only poop once a month?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is
That's
creepy.
How slow their metabolism slow everything is. It is gross.
Well, apparently Kristen Bell thinks they're like super cute. And
they move so slow that crap grows on them.
Moss.
Like, no,
moss.
I, moss.
On
yes.
them.
Literally, like a rolling stone gathers no moss, yes. but a sloth does.
So.
Yeah.
So she apparently thinks that sloths are really cute.
They're disgusting.
And Ellen finds this out, and she's going to bring this sloth on, and Kristen Bell loses it.
So
she
this is on her talk
yes,
show.
Yes, this is on her. And she, like, Kristen Bell freaks out so much she cannot speak, and she's, like, crying.
So
and
she's happy.
She's so, oh, no, wait. It didn't happen. See, this is another social distancing thing.
Bad memory.
I think that Dax, her husband, actually, they were just describing what? When he, like, arranged a sloth encounter for her. I can't remember exactly how it went, but I was having that kind of reaction to, like, how cute my kids were. I was like, oh my gosh, they're so cute in these little shirts and everything. And yeah, it was definitely a highlight for me during this time of weirdness that, you know, they were just so cute in these shirts. I mean, the kids are cute, but the shirts really did it for me.
Just finish those kids right off.
That's right. And I, you know, I didn't get to make them matching, like, swim pants that day or anything. And I was like, whatever. You know, just things can't always be perfect. But, yeah, I'm very happy. And I was so excited to share this on Instagram. So feel free to compliment me on my two rash guards that I made for my little children. I don't have any new rash guards. But, you know, I don't think I actually really need any right now. Okay, ZD, you have anything else that you want to tell me how proud you are of me and my rash guards?
Of you. What else have you made lately?
No, just compliment me on the rash guards.
Oh, well, no, I really like the color combination. I like the idea that you used the swimsuit, you know, that was non-functional.
Yeah. Because, May, or was it April? There's a month in our group that's supposed to be refashion.
must be this month.
It was one of these months.
Yeah, not, I don't think it's this month, but I don't know.
I was like, oh, I'm refashioning something, right, is what I did. Yeah. And we still have the back of the swimsuit to use.
Well, actually.
Oh, did you use it?
I will tell you what I've been using this.
Okay, well, we'll take a quick break, and then ZD will tell us what she's been using them for.
Let's take a moment to thank our latest sponsor, Copper Compression, for supporting the podcast.
Copper Compression offers a full range of copper-infused wellness products like braces, gloves, and sleeves that provide targeted relief and the support you need through your active recovery. They have the highest copper content on the market, guaranteed.
Copper-infused fabric is wondrous material. It has antimicrobial and anti-odor properties and boosts circulation. The unique combination of compression and copper gives you the strength to heal.
We know how important our hands are. I've been knitting and gardening more while staying at home, which is fun, but my hands were killing me. I started using their half-finger gloves while working on my latest project, and my hands have felt so much better.
Copper Compression was recently in the news. They donated their entire stock of 18,000 professionally manufactured masks to New York and New Jersey hospitals.
And of course, we have a special offer for our listeners. Go to coppercompression.com/sewingoutloud30, that's coppercompression.com/sewingoutloud30, or use the promo code Sewing Out Loud, all one word, at checkout for a very generous 30% off on your first order. Thanks, Copper Compression.
Sewing Out Loud. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back.
Okay.
What's ZD been making?
Well, we're going to get into some territory here. Mask, right?
Masks. Yeah.
Yes.
You've made more than one.
Yes, I have.
Oh, have you been keeping track?
You know, not really, but I do know We're at 100.
Well, there have been,
yeah.
There have been.
I don't keep track, and I don't tell you that I'm a hero because I made one.
Yes.
And I don't think I'm I'm not in that heavy.
There are some funny jokes out there, you know, how many masks have you made and how many people have you told and everything like that.
Well,
if you make masks, be proud of your efforts. Good
right.
job. We're just kidding.
Well,
you know,
I think it's funny when somebody says, I made 20 masks. Oh, my God, it only took me a week. And I'm like, well, I did 20 masks in an afternoon. But anyway, because I'm used to being able to assembly line things.
Right.
I have that in my mind. I have a mindset that does that, you know. I did a little R&D first and decided how I was going to make them and what was most efficient. And I do not sell my mask. And I am very, what should I say, frugal about whom I let know I'm, who or whom, either one, I let know I'm actually making masks. right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to take any orders for like, oh, do you have, you know, such and such superhero fabric or Disney right. princess fabric? No, I'm using what we have here. Mm-hmm. Part of this to me is we are using what we have.
Right.
Okay. And we're not like taking more resources out of the community to, you know, do this again. And I don't know how anybody's running out of fabric because I'm not.
I know. I mean, well, and to be clear, so I'm going to.
We have a lot of fabric.
I'm going to be ZD's editor here. Right. Like, if you want to make masks and you don't have fabric, you have to buy fabric.
Right.
Like, so not everyone has the luxury of having the huge right. stash we have, right. you know, for sure.
Right.
And also, there are people who are saying they're making masks and they're volunteering their time and talent. Yes. And that is a good thing.
And some people are selling masks because they have lost their income.
That's right.
Okay. So there's all different. I'm just telling you where I'm coming from.
Right. And there have been.
I have no problem with people selling masks.
Oh, no, no. Yeah.
I mean, somebody, let me tell you, there's work that goes into them.
Oh, man.
You know, if you, I think it's nice for people, but, you know, we've given some to some agricultural people here.
Yeah.
I've given some to some friends, family we've taken care of. But that, you know, I don't want to take orders. I don't want it to become that thing where I feel pressured about it or
right.
whatever. Or somebody tells me, oh, well, my little girl just wants a Disney princess one so bad. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going there.
Right.
I'm not doing that. There's too many other things I need to do right now. If people want to do that, great. Now, I have accidentally made some musical masks that some music teachers
oh, yeah.
Don't,
make no mistake. There are some cute masks.
Oh, no. There's some adorable masks here, you know.
Except I had a friend who was like, oh, you make, you know, I want a cute one like this. And I was like, everyone who has asked me for a mask, I was like, this is not an excuse to go out and party. You have to, right. you know, stay home. And anyway, there are stipulations.
I think that's part of it
that
for
come
me.
With my mask.
No, that's part of it for me, too. I believe the mask are a serious thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does feel.
I don't think there's anything wrong. I think they should look good. I think right. they should fit well. There's a lot of, you know, all kinds of things. So when designing these, I knew that there was going to be problems with how they fit people around the ears and what kind of elastic to use and all of this and everything. And actually, I decided that I could probably use knit strips, like spandex strips.
Yeah, around the, for the...
For,
yeah.
for you know, any sort of head ties or ear ties or whatever. And that I would not have to sew them.
Right.
Okay. That I wouldn't have to, you know, set something up and make all of these bias. And by the way, it doesn't have to be bias if it's just a strap to tie. It can be on the straight or grain, guys. So anyway, I started playing with spandex, cutting, deciding what size. And then, so if you take knit, most knits, almost all knits, there's some that won't work this way, and cut a strip and pull it, it will roll.
Right.
It will roll onto itself, and you don't have to do anything with the edges because they're finished.
Not going to ravel. Won't
ravel.
Yeah.
And they do fold in on themselves anyway. And I think I did learn a couple things.
Well, okay, you learned some things about pulling them
yeah.
different directions and rolling different
right.
ways. And then I have just gotten 3/4 of the way through knitting my first sock. And the reason I bring this up is because there is a certain pattern of knitting around the heel area that caused a bit of a different rolling pattern.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I wonder if machine-made knits are
I'm
made
sure
like
that's
this.
It.
And I was
right.
like, okay.
Right.
You know, so I was learning, too.
Well,
it was just cool.
So here, yeah. here's what I've learned,
uh-huh.
okay? Some knits will only roll when you stretch them in one direction.
Right.
Okay.
Either like cross grain.
And usually it's cross grain. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you try them in the lengthwise grain, they won't roll.
Uh-huh.
They just won't roll. They stretch and they come back and, you know, that's it. Okay. Or they don't stretch at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If it's only a one way stretch or two way stretch or however we want to put this. The other surprising thing is some knits roll both ways. If you
uh-huh.
stretch, but
uh-huh.
stretch cross or length, right?
Uh-huh.
They will roll, but they roll like in the opposite direction.
So like toward the right side or away from the right side. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And get this, you don't know until you try. Because I'm like, oh, I got this. If I pull in the cross grain, I can always have my right side out.
Right.
You know? Well, and then the next fabric I did, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
So it's you know, it's how they're woven or what side they decided to print it on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so you have to test.
Yes.
Here we go. Test again.
So the mask pattern that ZD kind of developed has channels on the side.
Okay. Yes.
So there are no, the ties are not affixed. And,
right.
Like,
and the reason I chose channels was a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, your last, if you are washing your mask correctly, which is in, you know, hot water, mm-hmm. and even warm water, hot water with detergent, right? Your elastic will wear out.
Right.
Okay. So if I've attached the elastic by sewing, I now have a mask maybe that's still okay, but my elastic is worn out.
Right.
So I wanted a channel there to either put elastic through or, you know, whatever.
People can put whatever they want through it.
No, and I have tried shoestrings, and that works if you want to tie it behind your head.
Yep.
You know, I saw that, is it Stan that's using yarn?
Somebody was using, was it Stan? Yeah. So you could use yarn, you can use whatever.
I think it was, I'm trying not to get somebody mixed up. I think it was Stan, because didn't he post him and his husband and he said he used yarn?
Yeah, the other reason I like the channel is because you can kind of gather up the mask.
You can gather it as you need it.
Yeah.
Because I know, like I made four size masks. I have a child size mask and then I have what I call my medium mask, which is sort of like a teenager or woman mask. It's kind of a,
the,
you know,
kids,
it's on the petite side.
Yeah, there's like a kid size, and then like medium is sort of like mostly women.
Mostly women,
large,
but men seem to be able to wear it too.
Men, you know.
But, and then I have a large size, which most of my men have been wearing, okay? And then I have an extra large, which if there's a beard or somebody has a wide face, just, you know, I have not that many of them, but just enough that a few people.
You need it,
Well, or if your nose happens to be like bigger, it's you know.
It's a bra.
Well, it is a bra cup. Mine look like single cup bras. Yeah. That's what they look like.
So we also, you put a channel in for the nose wire.
And I have a channel for the nose wire that's on the, in, sewn in on the lining only.
Right.
Yes. And that nose wire can be removed. If you can't remove the nose wire, that's another issue with laundering. It's going to poke through the fabric and or many other things. It will wear out.
I will say that one of the, you know, everyone has really personal feelings about the masks and everything. And a really wonderful article was shared in the group that basically said just that. Everyone's going to have different feelings around this and stuff. But something that has been nice for us is we have been using some fabric and that bias tape has been sitting around. And
not just, since the, like, the 60s.
Just since the 60s. Yeah. Yeah. No, if that is something that is feeling good for us in making them too, I think. Right. Do you agree?
Yes. Yes. And in fact, everything that we have not purchased one supply.
Right.
And then our nose wires.
What are?
I don't even know what it is.
Well, it's
so
nice.
So I say to my, because I tried several wires and I looked on the internet to see what people were using and I didn't like anything that I tried. Paper clips are too flimsy. Jewelry wire, it wasn't stiff enough. You know, all everything I tried, I didn't like.
Yeah, you weren't liking what you
tried. So I didn't like, and I wanted something that was moldable. And I wanted some, but sturdy enough that they could take it out of the mask and you know, be able to put it back in and use it over and over. So I'm out in the shed and I'm like, here, this is it. I think I found it. This is the wire I want. Well, and I only found like three feet of it.
Right.
Like a yard of, well, that goes for about, what, you know, 10 masks or whatever.
Yeah, right.
So I said to my husband, I don't know what this is, but you better be finding me some more. Okay, where'd you get that? I said, I got it out in your green shed. So, and he's like, well, I don't even know where that came from. And I go, it came from your green shed. Find me more.
Or
tell me what it is. Go to a hardware store and get me more.
Right.
Right. And finally, you know, he's like watching TV. And in the middle of like watching TV, he goes, I'm pretty sure that's some low voltage wire. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So it came to him what it was. So
it's copper, isn't it?
It is copper.
Yeah.
It's probably a very expensive mask.
Yeah, right.
Very
you high could, cost somebody's going to steal right. it and sell it.
So it's actually covered copper.
Yes, it's covered.
So yeah. It's covered and it has a rubber or plastic sheath on it. And I turn the ends of it to
right.
make them blunt or whatever, you know. So it's low voltage. So he found me like two rolls of it.
Yeah, that we had already.
So, right. And I said, can this be replaced? Because I'm thinking he's going to want me to replace it.
Right.
And he goes, oh, no, I'll never use that again. He says, I probably would have. He says, I don't need it. So I'm like, I have all this wire that's now mine.
Yeah. No, it feels good because.
I was getting ready to take, you know, the wiring out of the walls and splitting it open and, you know, Romax, is that what they call it? I can't remember.
That's not a sustainable idea.
But well, it is. It's just a lot of work.
So the outside of the masks are a quilting cotton, a woven cotton, and then the inside is flannel. And we have these bolts of flannel from when you used to teach the baby blanket class.
Right.
Bolts and bolts and bolts of flannel.
So my mask philosophy was, make something comfortable. I wanted it to fit well for comfort and for, you know, sanitary reasons, both. Mm-hmm. And if it was comfortable, people would wear it.
Right.
Okay. So that was part of my design.
Right.
And I was like, this flannel is nice and soft. I think people will wear this. And it will feel better than another layer of cotton up against their face.
Right.
That might be stiffer. Because, you know, all the cottons are different. Some of them are smoother than the others. So, you know.
Well, and what materials to use and stuff. You know, we're not going to get into all that. But we did actually find, there was an article published.
This was funny because after I designed it, it was Derek.
Derek sent me an article
and
in the New York Times. And they said that a layer of cotton and a layer of flannel is actually pretty good.
It is one of the better.
It's
tested
good.
Better than most as far as filtering.
Tests better than like, you know, a t-shirt or one layer of cotton.
Right.
And so we're like, okay, you know, and this is not, you know, these aren't, what do I want to say? You know, these aren't PPE. You know,
these
are not
medical. These will not filter out microns. They will not.
These are not medical grade. They are meant to be, you know.
This is to stop the moisture droplets from your breath. To stop them from going out into the atmosphere.
Right,
that's all
right.
It is.
And there have been that infographic that goes around where it's like, you know, one person's not wearing a mask. Oh, so two people not wearing a mask and, you know, this much transmission can happen. One person's wearing, but then two people are wearing and yay, it's lowered quite a bit.
The function of this is basically the same as coughing into your hand or coughing into your
elbow
kind of thing. Now, we don't want to do that because then we wind up with a dirty hand and a dirty elbow in this case.
Right.
So, you know, that's why we have the mask. So, since I have learned this Lycra stuff, like stretching the spandex or whatever, or the knit or whatever, I see this little swimsuit that Mallory has cut up and cast away.
Well, I knew we were going to use it. Well, first of all, I thought maybe I was going to be able to get like a sleeve out of it or something.
Yeah.
And it was two layers.
Yeah.
So I was like, I will be able to get two sleeves or part of two sleeves or something. And then I was like, all right. So we've got this quilting cotton. Some of this quilting cotton is on bolts. You've got those panels that are from God knows where or why or when. There's like a cat with a basket of flowers. So we have all this fabric, all this flannel, and then knit scraps are something that we produce
a lot.
Prodigiously.
A lot.
Okay. So we are able to use those as well. And so what we've been sending out the masks with.
A lot of our masks are being mailed. Like we've hit both coast and north.
And
North Midwest at this point.
Yes. And we have made most people who we've given them to have given multiple masks too.
Yes. 2 to 3 masks. In fact, you know, that's my suggestion. If somebody says, oh, I'd like a mask, I say, you really should probably have 2 or 3. And look at it this way, 1 to wash and 1 to wear.
Right, right. So
my husband has 6.
Yeah. He's a good mask wearer too. Yeah. He's good. So now I, for like me and Derek, when you set out the masks for him, like, you know, 3 more for him or whatever, and I was like, oh, we don't need to put a nose wire in every one of our masks. Like, Derek and I will get it. We take, you know, we're taking the nose wire out to launder, right, and we'll just put it in, you know, our next one. You can sanitize it, like, with alcohol or whatever. And, but the ones we have sent, we've put a nose wire.
So I put I have put a nose wire in every one.
Yeah.
That I have mailed out or given, or, and I tell them to keep them.
Yeah.
You know, if this wears out or if you think you need more masks, you need to tell me, save your nose wires.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to, I just don't feel like,
well,
I mean, I just think
it's a harder thing to replace too.
It's, well, and I just think, you know, it's silly to waste it.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing we do is, so if I'm making up this little package to send or whatever, is we put in extra spandex.
Okay. So what I started out trying to explain, and I got off on tangent. So you cut those strips about 3/4 of an inch by 8 inches.
3/4 inch wide. Yes.
Yeah. And then you stretch them.
Now, sometimes I go ahead and if I have if it's like 12 inches, I go ahead and I stretch it and I don't cut it up.
Yeah.
To see if maybe they do want to wear it like, you know, around their head.
8-inch minimum.
Right.
But what that does is they can tie them to go behind their ears. They can adjust it. They can replace it with a shoelace or a ribbon or a piece of yarn, whatever. And we give those extra ties, you know, along with that.
We even sent safety pins to the agriculture people.
Yeah, so they could.
So they could.
In case they didn't have one. Right. You know, they could have some.
That they could thread their
safety
whatever,
pins
through
to,
their channel. Yeah.
Yes, that thread whatever they want through there. So anyway, I like it that that's customizable because I didn't really think about it, but. What Jerry was like, I don't want that thing around my head. You know,
he didn't,
like, oh,
most
okay.
people don't. Okay. They don't. It doesn't feel comfortable around their hair, around their head. And I will tell you, the Lycra seams or spandex, whatever the knit, the knit little you know strips that roll up are more comfortable around the ears. Because I made both for my husband to test.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I like that stretchy, soft
stuff.
Yeah,
it's really
nice. Well, it's so soft because it turns up to be round.
Well, and...
you know, it's round and it's not flat with an edge on
it. Well, and the reason elastic exists, okay, is to, like, go in a knit garment and, like, hold it up in a waistband or on a neckline or whatever. You know, elastic... And it's, you know, I'm not saying it's, like, bad to use it, but that's just why those are more comfortable. And I think for, like, civilian wear like this, it's a really good option.
Right. And most people are not wearing these masks like a professional would where they're on their face for 10 hours straight or something.
Well,
or around their ears, you know.
That's the thing about this. There are so many different situations. I hesitate to use the word levels.
Well, in the situations, I think is a good word because people are also taking masks and handing them out to customers or patients that come in because they don't want to give up the PPEs.
Right.
You know, they want to try and keep the PPEs
for
the professional situations.
I mean, we're really lucky. So Derek's a school teacher. He has to go in and do some things in the near future, and he's required to wear a mask, you know. But we really get to stay home a lot. You know,
I have only tried one on.
Oh, yeah.
I've been out, but the situations I've been out in is like I'm out walking down the road.
Right.
So I'm not, you know, it's not like I haven't worn one for any, I've only tried it on.
I went out once and I brought it with me and I didn't need it because I took trash
I carry mine in a Ziploc in my purse.
Okay, that I do want to bring this up. I love these Stasher bags, silicone bags, okay? I'm just freaking obsessed with them. Right. And they are expensive, but they're like the perfect mask bag.
Are they?
Because they can be put in the dishwasher or right. in the washing machine.
Right.
You know, they're silicone bags, yeah. and you can reuse. So, like, that is actually what we've been using to transport them at night. And once, and I'm trying not to use as much plastic, blah, 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 blah. I don't even have any sandwich bags anymore, which really sucked when I tried to pipe cupcakes because I didn't have any piping bags either. So, anyway, the silicone stasher bags are so freaking awesome for that. But you made Jerry a fabric bag.
Right.
Too.
Right.
Which and is also good.
I really need to make more than one fabric bag.
Yes.
Because I'd like him to keep a fabric bag and I'd like to just take the fabric bag and put it in the laundry.
Everything in the laundry.
Where I what I'm doing is I'm taking his out of his fabric bag or washing it or it's I need to make more.
You need
it.
Yeah, another one.
Because I want. Now, the last time I washed his mask, I did it by hand.
Uh-huh.
I just put really, really, you know, hot water in the wash basin and some detergent and some actually some OxyClean. Usually, if I put him in the washing machine,
right,
I'm using one of the mesh bags that I have.
Oh, that's a good idea to put them in the mesh bags. Yeah.
And I leave the ear pieces in.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And when they wear out, we'll replace them.
Right. And so you can replace it with whatever, you know, you want. But yeah, it's I wanted to talk about the levels though too, you know, with the fact that we are able to stay home. You know, I have a friend whose husband is the manager of a grocery store.
Right.
You gotta go into work every day, you know. And
she and I compared masks the other day.
So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe he wants more than one per day.
That's what my husband's doing.
Does he take one off to, like, go eat his lunch and then go and get, you know, another one? You know.
My husband says, and he's weird because he goes into supply places.
Right.
Okay, so he says he'll wear one, and if he hasn't worn it very long, he feels confident in, like, just leaving it open on the seat next to him,
right?
You know, and putting it back on. He says if he's worn it for a while, then he'll put another one on that day. But he's usually good with one a day.
No, one time I went into, you know, that art studio, and no one was there. You know, so, like, I, you know, didn't even see anybody, but I had the mask on to walk in case there were other people there.
And that's what you do. You wear it if you think you're going to pass someone or something like that.
And so I was like, well, I don't really feel like this one, you know, I was in my own space and everything. But, you know, these aren't going to be, like, sterile, you know, pieces of equipment.
They need to be clean like your clothes are clean.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of treat them like your underwear or something.
You know, like the clean gynecological exam, which is not a sterile exam. You know, actually kind of wondered about that, like if that program is through our local university. And so I'm like, well, I don't know if they're ever going to like start up, you know, they're going to start up school. I was like, I wonder if we'll be wearing masks.
Some of the nursing schools and the PT schools around here, I know from first person information, are doing things on mannequins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a shame.
You know, you got to do the mannequins first, but then, you know, that is, you know, something that's sad. I think it also, Candace Ayala, who founded sewingportfolios.com, she's another person who we've met, like, through Baby Lock, and she does, you know, she talked about making the masks and how it made her have really strong feelings while she made them.
You do, yeah, they can be emotional, I believe.
You know,
I agree.
She said that what she described was, like, sewing masks as an empath, you know, and how this was difficult and how she thought about the people wearing them. And, you know, I think that there are some people, I know a woman who's going and picking up kits for, you know, from a local program and, you know, re-delivering and everything. And it's just, like, the situation we're in, it seems like this is kind of the best route for us. We have enough people asking us for them, and then we provide, and then we cut out more, and then we find a need, and, you know, we go, and
we go,
and
it's kind of funny where we found the needs, because everybody thinks medical, and then here it turns out that, tell them about your agriculture lady.
We joined a CSA, like, just now.
So tell everybody what a CSA is, because I didn't know.
Okay, CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. And so this program, you know, it's a local organic farm, and you pay ahead of time for, you know, a year's worth of vegetables. So every week they're going to give you vegetables, and, you know, you're supporting this this business and you're supporting local, you know, agriculture and everything. So, yeah, I was, you know, writing to the woman, Farm Her Liz is what she, like, calls herself, okay, which I think is really cute. And I was writing to her about, you know, how we're going to pick stuff up and everything. And, you know, she said, I don't have enough masks. And I was like, oh, well, you know, can I contribute to per employee, you know? And then I said, Mom, can we contribute two per employee?
And she says, Mom, how many masks do you have ready?
It's like, Mom, I need a costume for everybody for Halloween. It's very similar kind of thing. So
Mom, I just volunteered you to make the most bizarre thing in the whole world.
Mom's been using a lot of her... You say the mask making has been a bit therapeutic for you.
I found it therapeutic. Research and development, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you get really satisfied. And you're like, oh, I found the way I like to make this.
Oh, my gosh.
You
know? Everybody.
Everyone loves ZD's
masks. That's the feedback I get. This fits so well.
Yeah.
You know, this doesn't fit like the other one they gave me at work or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, of course.
No, that really turned ZD on.
Because I did R&D in my studio. So anyway, where was it? What were we talking about? So what I have found is it's good mindless work for me now.
Yeah.
So if I feel like cutting, I cut. If I feel like sewing, I sew. If I feel like top stitching, I top stitch. If I feel like cutting strips for... you know, the Lycra strips or whatever, spandex strips, then I do that. It's just, I'm going through my stash. I just refolded some fabric in a drawer and went through and picked out, you know, what I wanted. So it's kind of, in a sense, kind of mindless work, too, because I now have it down.
Yeah, well, right. And I want to share that at first I was like, oh, I'm like... gonna ask for these masks, and I was like, I gotta get up there and like sew some of these because I haven't done anything. ZD's done everything.
She gives my mask away, but she does not contribute in any way.
I didn't do anything, yes. And then I, you know, I was like asking her, like, yeah, and I was like, well, I feel so bad, and so then I was like, well, maybe I should just say thank you and not like get all guilty in here, because I have been having to like take care of my kids and do our, you know, get all these podcast sponsorships figured out and stuff. You know? Somebody's got to run the business, you know, and then I have to nail you down for some live broadcasts too.
Right.
And things have been, you know, even though I generally work from home and everything, you know, things have just been so different. So anyway, I set aside my guilt, and Mom was very supportive. And then I very kindly came up here and I did the most difficult part of 19 masks. I sewed the linings together and I put on the nose strip for the nose wire. Didn't I, Mom?
Yes.
And you were so grateful.
And I came up and there's like 30 linings just
19.
19. Waiting, you know, there, ready to
go.
And
you're like, oh, you did the
nose
wire?
I'm like, oh, you did these. Wow. Oh, yeah. And I said, oh, the channels on them and everything.
Oh. Yeah, apparently I didn't use the right seam allowance.
Yeah. So then I go and I'm putting these together, and I have let people, like, I will cut out the mask, and sometimes they're not together, but I will take a picture of them and say to people, this is,
do you want this one?
Do you want to pick out, you know, two or three of these, and I'll sew the one you want, or whatever. I'm getting ready to sew, you know, pick two or three that you like from here. So one of my aerial buddies who's in PT school, you know, she picks out, of course, one that I only have one cut. Only one that, you know, it will be the unique and only one. And I put it together with Mallory's lining. And I can't, well, unfortunately, I can get anything to match when I'm sewing.
Well, yeah. Why
right?
Just get it to
no,
match.
No, I get this. I can get, you know, and then I go, I turn it inside out, and I'm like, this is awful. Like, there's a big wad of fabric in the nose of this thing. So, after trying to figure this out and what was going on, and I thought maybe I've put the wrong size with the wrong size, because again, like I said, we have four sizes and, you know, they're not that far apart.
Uh-huh.
Like, they look pretty similar. And I'm like, maybe we labeled these wrong. I don't know. So what happened was Mallory didn't take as big a bite of seam allowance as I did.
And then
there's all this excess fabric.
She texts me and she's like, what line did you use on the serger to sew these? I'm like, I think the first one. And then I'm like, I shouldn't even said anything. I should have been like, I don't know. Because, like, I'm sorry. I really, no, I'm not absolving myself, but like, I don't remember, maybe. I don't know.
I think that's the one she used.
I think you think that's right? Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, we have resolved that.
It was wrong.
But yes, but I was like, you got to be kidding me. I came up here to do mindless sewing, and now I've got to figure something out again.
Well, okay. Yeah, that was just over payback for when you handed me a stack of the outsides and you said they were mediums and they were largest. So really,
yeah, but I had cut all those and sewn all those, and you said,
I cut and sewed all those too.
No, I cut all those. I no, cut all those.
I know.
I cut 30, which was actually 60 pieces. So the mask I make, like Mallory said, are like a bra cup, and they have the seam, you know, down
right.
the midline.
And I have seen people who've somebody published a pattern that doesn't have the seam all the way down the midline.
They just have the darts yeah.
so that you don't have to cut up your pattern. Like, well, if you have a pretty pattern that you don't want to interrupt.
Well, there's a thing about the dart. There's a reason I didn't do a dart.
I agree.
And it's bulk.
I prefer the seam,
right.
too.
I
think it's easier.
I don't have to fussy cut these
right.
boogers. They're mask.
Well,
but,
no, I know why somebody right. might want one. But yeah, it's, mask sewing has me good. Oh, I want to bring up, we brought this up way back at the beginning. I'm sorry, you're about to say something too. But gathering at the side mm-hmm. where the channel is.
Right.
I've seen a lot of people, I don't want to get into technicalities here. That's not what this episode's mm-hmm. about and stuff. But I have seen a lot of people with the gap at the sides.
And I had
one too.
No.
When I put it on and then I just...
Scrunch up
the mask a little bit, and it fits so much better. So keep that in mind.
And that's one reason I made the shaped mask.
Yeah.
Because
you're
less likely to have the gap. And honestly, I really believe they're more comfortable.
Right.
You know, and like I said, I was going on comfort because I wanted people to wear them.
Right.
Yeah, I wanted them also not to have to touch their face a lot.
Right, right. And I did notice there was one day that... I was kind of wanting to touch, like, my nose wire. And so I was like, okay, I need to shape this better.
You need to shape
before
the nose
I go to, into
right,
the
right.
place.
You need to shape that nose wire. And
right.
And that's another reason for a nose wire. I know not everybody's doing them.
It makes a world of difference.
It does make and I have a tiny face.
Yeah.
Like, compared to a lot of people. So, that you know, it will stick up, like, into my vision almost.
Yeah.
Even though I have that shape
right.
to not do that. So, you know, I just like the nose wire. It's not necessary.
Like, if you can swing it.
You know, my cousin
cool.
is in California. She was wearing bandanas. And I said, do you want mask? You know? And she said, well, I've just been wearing these. She goes, because I can't make up my mind. And I don't know. Yeah. You know, and I
yeah.
said, okay, fine. I will make you some. She's like, oh my gosh. Cut. Now, she's not back at work because she was worried about when I go back at work.
Yeah.
How am I going to deal with this bandana on my face?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I have, you know, here's the other thing. It's just so interesting because I know this woman and she is, I don't know if she's completely clear of cancer. She had to have surgeries like during our stay-at-home order, which is so terrible, sad. You know, I felt so bad for her. And she wrote on Facebook, she said, I need a mask. My husband and I have been wearing bandanas. And I would say 40 people commented and said, I'm dropping off masks for you. And so then I messaged her a couple days later. I said, did you get masks? She goes, oh my God, I got so many masks. And so like, I see that they're just like different people, you know, meeting
right.
these needs and everything in different ways. And everybody's got to do it in the way that's like most comfortable for them. And I was like, this woman has this huge support network that, you know, she didn't need me, you know.
Well, and that's the other thing I've made very clear to people. If you don't like my mask, you find something else. That's fine. I will not be offended
right.
if you don't want to wear my
right.
mask.
Yeah.
I'm actually getting the opposite feedback. So far, it's like, no, your mask fit better. I would rather have your mask. Is that okay? And I say, when you think you need another one or a couple more, just get, you know,
right.
I'll get them to you in a week's time or whatever, or maybe that day. Who knows? But I also, like I said, I don't want them to be a pressure on me.
Yeah.
Either.
I can barely take the pressures that are on me right now. And I know that and some people have been just like so motivated by this, but I think that you just got to do it in whatever way you can.
I think another
you know?
Thing that's unique for us, and I don't know, well, this is unique to some other people too, but people are like, oh, I'm at home and I have all this extra time. No, we've always been at home. This is where we work.
No, a lot. Well,
so we haven't. It wasn't like we gained time for like not traveling to work or, you know, we already had our time filled and it was at home. And then now we've got the kids on top of it.
And we were working on some razor thin margins there.
I think there's but what I'm saying is if we had been going out to work, getting up every day, getting ready, going out to work. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right,
and
right.
coming home, we might have like, boy, we got all this time now.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to realize how much time they waste going back and forth to work.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, I...
And getting up and, you know, doing your makeup and your hair.
This is completely...
And worrying about what you're wearing. Yeah.
Now, this is completely off topic, but I think there are a lot of companies out there that should let their employees work from home. I mean, that totally... Yeah. I have no dog in this
fight.
Well,
now my husband's company, they're doing like sort of half and half.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's a pretty small company. But there are some of these companies where it's like everything's on the computer. You're emailing people all day, every day anyway. It's just like, anyway.
Well, things will change.
Not everybody is comfortable with it, though. You know, I like working from home.
Yeah.
And I know some people who are like, this is terrible for me. You know? Like, I'm not happy with this.
I guess what I'm saying is I didn't need to add anything to my, you know, to my schedule to keep me occupied while I was at home. I had plenty to do.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for listening to our, you know, feel free to compliment me, social distancing edition. And we hope that you are finding whatever balance you need with the mask making, if you are or you aren't, you know, whatever
works
for you.
Just balance.
Yeah.
So everybody stay balanced and stay safe.
Stay as balanced as you can. It's hard. And, you know, if you are somebody who's got to be out and about, thank you very much for, you know, doing that and being amazing. And we appreciate you. And we hope that our podcast has been a little bit of fun for you. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.